Jeff, is that the baby? Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me just get a word here for the baby before we go to our Sunday school lesson. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." It's a commandment. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Jeff, listen. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children," and other parents, of course. "And shall take of them, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." And then, verse 13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." Father, we thank you and praise you for your words. Father, your words are life. The word of God is quick, alive, and powerful. We thank you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless Jeff and Kirsten's little boy, baby Schultz. We thank you for giving us him and for giving Jeff and Kirsten as well that precious gift. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this baby would learn your word from his youth, and we are sure that he would. We pray, Heavenly Father, that he would receive the Lord Jesus Christ in his youth and serve him and be a good testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks again. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Jude. Jude, our Sunday school chapter. It's probably as big as a book. I just keep just indicating this, and of course it's because it is true. I want to really emphasize that it's so powerful, and it's so brief, and it touches on so many things that really, really need to be expanded upon, to really learn the power of this little epistle. It's extremely, extremely powerful, and he's not, as we term, he's not beaten around the bush. He's so straight and powerful, not afraid of anything. He has seen his brother in resurrected life, and he counts himself the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Okay, now let's go again and read verses 4 through 7. "For there certain men crept in unawares." These are wolves in sheep's clothing, "who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God, our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." He's making the Lord Jesus Christ extremely, extremely intimate. Our Lord, my Lord. He's writing to believers. Of course, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not." So we covered that last week. And then today, And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So we covered how the Lord dealt with the children of Israel because of their unbelief. He dealt with them at first in mercy by just bringing them out of the land of Egypt from bondage, being there under very, very terrible, hard taskmasters, and bringing them out. And they witnessed all those signs and wonders, and then they came out of the land of Egypt with just a tremendous, tremendous miracle when they saw. Not only saw and witnessed the Red Sea just open, divide, but they went right through the Red Sea and came unto a desert, dry land. And then they turned around and saw the Egyptians pursuing them, the armies and the chariots pursuing them, the officers, and all those were drowned. So God dealt with them in mercy, but then afterwards, of course, he dealt with them in judgment. Destruction overtook the children of Israel from plagues and fire, serpents, earthquakes, sword. Even though the children of Israel were the chosen people of God, they were. We have mentioned Abraham a few times this morning. They were the natural seeds of Abraham. They were his great, 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 great grandchildren. They were the people who were chosen by God. In spite of this wonderful salvation and deliverance, what happened? He afterwards destroyed them. Why? Destroy them that believed not. And that's the key. Believed not. These apostates do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in our Lord and Savior. And the children of Israel were destroyed because they believed not. And this shows the evil nature of unbelief. God is not going to have anything to do with unbelievers except to punish them, to destroy them. He will not suffer sin to go unobserved and ultimately unpunished. God is not going to stand by. And if he didn't stand by his own people, he's not going to stand by these nominal professors who are wicked, false teachers. Brothers and sisters, this great country that God has blessed are full of false teachers. Now, I always mention this, that thank God there are a lot of wonderful, true believers, true witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in this country. Thank God. But there are a lot of unbelievers. They could take the pulpit and they could deny the existence of hell and the lake of fire. They're unbelievers, false teachers. They deny Christ, deniers of the Lord Jesus Christ, perverters of the gospel. What is the gospel? What kind of gospel are they preaching? Self-indulgence, indulgence of the flesh? And God, of course, cannot be expected to withhold the divine vengeance toward those people who are going into churches among God's own people and trying to basically destroy their faith. God is not going to stand by. So the cause of destruction was unbelief. The children of Israel, the cause was, they wanted to go back. any man from 20 years old and older had to perish and not see the promised land. God was giving it to them in their own hands. And yet they say, oh, they're giants. The Lord has brought us out in this wilderness, and Moses has brought us out in this wilderness to kill us. The Lord said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Kill you. And there were bodies strewn of these people, these unbelievers, all over the desert land. They could not enter in because of, in Hebrews 4 we read, because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. The end of unbelief is utter and absolute destruction. There's no doubt about that. Utter and absolute destruction. And then, of course, the Lord himself said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, thank God that today we have a firm foundation and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the only Savior, our Redeemer, the only one whose redemption is acceptable to God, the Father. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the second example of divine vengeance, and these were examples that at that time, when Jude was writing this, they were aware of, they knew all, they had heard and studied it, and we do today also. The other example, of course, is the case of the fallen angels. The fallen angels. Satan himself is a fallen angel, and all his followers. They're spoken of as angels that sinned. Angels that sinned. And God basically cast them out. Those who kept not their first estate, they're cast out of God's favor. And they will never, and that's the amazing thing, they will never be reconciled back to God. It's not possible. They sinned, and they lost God's favor. You know, it may have been expected that they would have been so content with the positions that God had put them in. So content. Angels. They were holy, honorable, happy, in a happy condition. They were so happy and such an honorable condition, were actually created in perfect holiness and righteousness. And not only that, but they were a superior rank of creatures than not just only the animals, but man. The Lord Jesus Christ, in order for him to be man, he was made a little bit lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So the angels had a special superior rank. You would think they would have been so content, and not only that, but they beheld the face and enjoyed the presence of God continually, enjoyed His sufficiency, His person, His face, His favor. They were able to they would worship Him. But it says, but they did not keep this estate. This wasn't good enough. Why wasn't it good enough? Why wasn't it good enough in this condition? What else can you want? Well, there was something else that was more desirable to them. They wanted to be God. And they did not want to be in subjection with God. Did you know there are people like that today? They would rather, this is amazing, they would rather trust, I don't know what that means in this particular context, just a little idol hanging in some car or something, just going back and forth, that would distract me. than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to make their own gods because their own gods cannot request anything, cannot talk back. So the filth that they get involved in, they don't have to answer. But here, even the angels sinned. They rejected God's being subjected to God, their creator, sustainer. So they kept not their own principality, but left their own habitation. The angels that sinned left their own habitation. And it says they are kept in everlasting bonds. Kept in everlasting bonds. They are the bonds of God's power. They're kept under God's power, under God's restrictions. There's a present detention that is declared on these fallen angels. They cannot do anything they want. And the other thing is that they know destruction is going to face them. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when the demons faced him said, "Torment us not before the time." They knew they were going to be tormented, but please don't torment us before the time. They're going to be tormented. They know it. They know it. They're under darkness, under God's restraints. Oh, thank God for that. You see, when I realize that the devil is under God's restraint and God is watching over me, then I don't have to fear the devil. That's a great, great comfort. It's under God's control. He's not to be feared. He had tried to get to Job. And when God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "Well, of course. Yeah, you have a hedge around him. You have put a hedge about him. That's why I..." Well, he had tried, apparently, and found out there was a hedge. God had put a hedge, a distance, and put a restraint on the devil. "Hey, that's my servant. You better stay away from him." Now God says, "Well, you go ahead." That's very comforting to me to know that God is not only in control, and he is, but the devil and his angels, they have no power over me, over a believer, unless God at certain times allows them to get close under certain circumstances to basically to see if he himself, God, would receive glory through that experience. And Job was a good, perfect example. So they're under God's control. And of course, this detention, this restraint that they have today is a prelude, if you will, of the ultimate destruction, the doom that is a lot more awful that's going to come. The lake of fire, the devil and all his angels, all those demons, all those fallen angels that are with him, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So they're kept in everlasting bonds. And this is utterly irrevocable. There is no way a fallen angel can be saved. But thank God, fallen man can be saved. And we were reminded this morning, and thank God for the breaking of bread meeting every Sunday. They continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. There's power, even though we come here to give and not to receive, and yet we do receive. the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He didn't die for the angels. He died for our sins. What a remarkable thing it is. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's also, of course, for these angels, not only the bond today is a future punishment. It's up there, and they know it. It's irrevocable unto the judgment of the great day. And the devil, of course, the chief of them is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and they're going to follow. All of them are going to follow there. And to be there forever and ever and ever. And the unbelieving people, these professors, it says they're going to die and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. What? Prepared for whom? Not for people. That wasn't the intention of God at the beginning, but for the devil and his angels, the fallen angels. Yeah, there's a judgment in the lake of fire and brimstone. So he says, and since this is the case of the fallen angels, you have the punishment of the children of Israel in the wilderness because of unbelief. You have the fallen angels and their punishment, their waiting punishment because of unbelief, because of not trusting the God who created them, not obeying the God who created them. Since, because of this, what severity, if this is the case, what severity may be expected from God against the opposers of the truth of the gospel? When people come and say, we don't believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. We don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was God incarnate. That's not possible. We don't believe in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension, and the fact that he is at the right hand of the throne of God. So what do you expect that God would do with those people? With the apostates? Well, he's going to punish them just as bad. Just as bad. And then, of course, the third example of divine vengeance, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not going to go into that. It's a long one. That's also just a tremendous example that happened in history, and it's good to spend quite a bit of time on that. That also was favored. The main thing to realize is this. The children of Israel were favored. We have heard from Brother Daniel. You see the root. They were in there. They were those branches, but then they had all the nutrients coming in through Abraham. But then what happened? Unbelief. You had God dealing with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And then you had these angels who enjoyed God's favor, the presence of God, communion with God, incessant communion with God and enjoying his goodness. They sinned. And here is vengeance of the Lord. And then Sodom and Gomorrah was also favored. Did you know it was called the Garden of God? It had everything. And yet it received vengeance of the Lord because of unbelief. We need to be very, very careful that we stand fast for the Lord. He's all we have. All we have and all we need. When I say he's all we have, it doesn't mean that he's not enough. He is all sufficient. We don't need anything else. We have God. If God be on our side with us, or rather, if we are on his side, then, of course, who is going to be against us? Let's just take courage and stand up and be good witnesses for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.